we'll start with Dira, which is sheet 2, and then probably about 45 to 50 minutes, I think, and then break for a few minutes, and then do the rest of Hoka for Dira, which is really a smaller couple of topics that do need to be addressed, but are not as incredibly frustrating as defining Dira. The truth is, I feel like I could use another couple of days to really get this right, but we have to push on. There's just too much to do. So the topic for this week, after last week where we talked about the basic rule of what it means when we say that something is called not hoka fladira in terms of having the karmelis applying prohibitions, isurim, which wouldn't apply if it was a rishus hayachid, but on the other hand, having that funny relationship with its biblical status in the sense that it is strict as rishus hayachid as far as transport from a rishus harabim. We talked about the size of the space and where we got the idea of sasayim from. We dealt with a little bit with the rectangle. And that brings us to what we had left off with when the fire drill happened, which is the question of what is Dira. So, introductory note that I think is very important to grasp is that there are actually two key factors, two questions you have to ask when answering the question of whether it is Hoka Fladira, and answering wrong to either one of them will eliminate Dira. So question number one is, if there is no wall, if we're just dealing with an open space, a park, whatever it is, then we just look at the functionality of the space. Is this for what we call living in, Dira? Second question, if there is a wall, then we also have to look at the role of the wall. Is the wall for the sake of Dira? And you could have a situation, as you know, because you've been learning the Gemaras, that you could have a situation in which a place is inhabited, there's a Dira in it, but because the wall around it was not designed for Dira, therefore it's called not Hoka Fladira. As counterintuitive as that is, that's the case. So we begin with the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Its source Aleph on your sheet. Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This is the rule. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, "Kol Avir Shetashmisho LeDira." If it is space that serves Dira, Kigon, Dir V'Sahar Muktzav Achatzer. Right? We noted last time the possibility of the addition being Sahar instead of Sahar. But if it is airspace that serves for Dira, like Dir and Sahar, which are two types of pastures, Muktza and Chatzer, which are two types of yards, one in front of the house, one behind the house, vice versa. The Afilu Beis Chamesh Eskurim and Beis Asar Eskurim, Mutter. Doesn't matter how big it is, 5 kor, 10 kor, doesn't matter, you're allowed to transport within it. However, if it is for residence, but that residence is serving the space beyond, could go and board it in Shevastad. That's like where you have these huts that are for the guards in the field, and they're only there because of the space beyond it. Then I added the word ad. Beis Asayim Mutter. Yes, a Beis Asayim Asur. Up to and including Beis Asayim is allowed. More than that is going to be prohibited. So it is a this space that is Dira, that's serving Avir, is a Rishus Hayachid biblically, but becomes a Karmelis rabbinically. So how do you define Dira? What exactly is Dira? So we already saw the reference to these four spaces, Dir, Sahar, Chatzar, and Rechava. I also brought you the Mishnah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, in source base, where it says explicitly these four, Dir, Sahar is the addition there, Muktza and Chatzar. So, those are our spaces. Does Dira mean that there's a house present? So, based on those four examples, the answer is not necessarily. We do seem to require something of a house, attachment to a house, perhaps, but there doesn't have to be a house in that area, and that we see that very clearly. The Dira and Sahar are pastures. Now, the truth of the matter is that once you get into the Rishonim, you find a debate as to whether a house is present or is not present. So I brought you the Meiri, troublemaker that he is, in Source Gimel. Dir, he says, Rotzalomar, Hekef ha'asoy besados libehemos. This is an enclosure that is made in the field for animals, V'yeshbo beis dira laroa. But it has a house for the shepherd. The Sahar, as well as the Sahar, who gamkein hekef ha'asu libehemos, which is also an enclosure for the animals, elishahu be'ir, is just in an urban area. The yesh gorshim sahar, some have a sahar milashon hekef, which means something that is enclosed, right? If you think of schor schor, right, to go around, that's that would be the origin of it. If you say sahar, we looked up, this was a while back, right? We looked up Sahara Desert to see if Sahara maybe was associated with sahar, but it's not. Sahara means desert. The Sahara Desert is the desert desert. So we're out of luck on that one. There is, the moon is sometimes called Sihara, and maybe that somehow shape of the moon is shape of the enclosure. I don't know. But the Meiri says explicitly, Yesh bo beis dira laroa. There is indeed a house in which the shepherd lives. And that makes sense more in a deer, frankly, than in a sahar, in the sense that we know that the shepherds, when they went out to the rural areas, stayed out there for months, as opposed to the urban one where he could have brought the animals out in the morning and taken them back in the evening, and that has ramifications for buying stolen goods from shepherds and other issues in halacha. In any case, Rashi says, on the other hand, when he describes deer, he just says, deer shall behemos shows and besados hayom kan vayom kan kde lezabla beglalaya behemos. He says a deer is a pasture set up in the field and you fertilize the field along the way, and the sahar is for the behemos shall ear for the more urban ones. He mentions nothing about anybody living within the space. So the Bir Halacha explains Rashi, that who didn't have any residence. The Bir Halacha is in source Hey. He says, Vida, you got to know, the Rabbeinu Yonasan, who Rabbeinu Yonasan is associated with the Meiri's view, Kasa v'zelashono, dir sheyesh l'machitzos u'bayis b'socho l'roa shalahem. He said also, there's a residence, akan l'shono. U'mashma minei, the time of the deer, mishum deyesham diras adam. Right? There has to be someone living there. V'lo mashma kein v'irish Rashi. Rashi doesn't seem to say that. El d'b'knisa v'yitzia tamid l'sham l'tapel odosam sagi. He says it is sufficient that you go in and out, right, to take care of them. You don't need a house. The shepherd being there all the time is good enough. It's not that there actually is a dira there. That's the Bir Halacha's explanation of Rashi. The Nesivo Shabbos, Rabloik, who I'm going to quote extensively, in Perek Yud Beis, it's Ara Yud Zayin, uses this to explain Erbin Chavdalad Amad Aleph, which says that you're not allowed to transport four amos in a rechava. So he says, yeah, that's talking about a rechava, that one doesn't enter constantly, and therefore you won't satisfy Rashi. He also uses this for something that we're going to have to come back to later. I'm just trying to decide how, whether to even mention it at this point. You read the Gemara about Machitzos for Tznius and Nachas, right? Erevin Chav Hevet Beis, the Chavav Medalef with the Abarniki, the Elon, the Mesach, and so on and so forth. So there, Rashi, it disqualifies the Machitzos for Nachas and Machitzos for Tznius, right? The ones for, it appears to be, putting things down. And for privacy, Rashi explains that, mentioning because it's only meant for guarding, and it's temporary. So Nesiva Shabbos says, that's like Rashi here. Rashi wants constant presence. It isn't sufficient that there's an activity that is dira, it's also the constant presence that is involved. The Nesiva Shabbos also notes that the Shulchan Aruch omits dir v'sahar. He only mentions chatzar ruchava. And suggests is perhaps they require a house, like the Meiri. Dir v'sahar doesn't have a house normally, even though the Meiri said this one does. That's not what we think of. But dir v'sahar, we have this machlokas. Chatzar and rechava is an adjunct to dira. It's next to a house, one in front and one behind. If it lacks dira, but it isn't actually anti-dira. It's not like you have plants there that are keeping people out or whatever it is. It just doesn't have a house in it. So take a look at the Rama in source Vav, who writes, V'yesh omrim od, some say further, d'chol karfev shu samach lebeso mikri hukof ledira, that if you have a karfev near your house, that is hukof ledira. It's near your house, that's good enough. Ki daita yilabe, because you intend to be there. V'yesh cholkin bezen, some disagree. Surprise. But that's what the Rama writes, and then the Mishnah Brura on that has the Magen Avraham has discussion about what samuch lebeiso means. Did you get to see any of that, or you didn't get that far?
The Magen Avraham.
Well, in general, the Shulchan Aruch, and yeah, did you get up to that?
We saw some Shulchan Aruch.
Sorry. Right, we did Shin Mem Vav and first Sif and Shin Mem Ches.
Okay. So the Magen Avraham has a discussion about what Samuch means, and maybe Samuch means within the Tchum. But as the Mishnah Berurah notes in Sur Zayin on V'yesh Cholkin Vazeh, he says, U'deyazu, within this view, meaning the dissenting view, afilu b'smucha mamash lebeiso kosholo pasach ulu b'sov hukov lo mahani. He says, as long as you didn't first open a door from your house into this property, so it's actually an extension of the house, before closing it, it won't work. And he says that is in fact the law. And so in the Sharat Zion on this, in Sharat Zion, I think it's Tazayin, he says it's not worth it for me to debate whether nearby means Tchum or not, because we don't care. We require that there be actually an entrance from your house into this space. So the upshot of this is that as a matter of halacha, we're going to require a dwelling or attachment to a dwelling, and living activities are going to be insufficient. Rashi believes that dira is either actually living, which is not full-time, or full-time use for non-living. Okay, so here we get to sub-question one. We have two sub-questions that we have to deal with on this before we talk about how you disqualify a karfeif that appears to have dira. But before we do that, we have two sub-questions. Sub-question number one. When we're taught by Rashi that you need to have a perpetual presence, two different ways to look at this. Is perpetual presence a requirement because we want constant living in that space? Or is it because if you're locking people out at some point, you are disqualifying it from Dira? Is it that Dira needs to be always? Or is it because we don't want you locking people out? That's a question with an afkamina lahalacha. The practical application would be, what if you have no walls, but you have a sign up in the park that says no one is allowed after 11 p.m.? Right? If I take the approach that has to be for living in always, this is not dira. But if I take the approach that the problem is locking people out, because then it's hukuf shalola dira, you didn't lock anybody out. No one's locked. There's no enclosure. It's an open park. So that's why I wonder about this question. The Divrei Malkiel.
But is that brought as a law when you have a sign posted on the park with city?
I think usually it's a bylaw. Yeah, it is in Vaughan anyway. They tell you what bylaw number it is.
So that doesn't have implications on it. The fact that it would be.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, the Divrei Malkiel has a discussion about this when he talks about public parks in a city and the question of what if people use it and they're not supposed to use it. As I understand it, he seems to think that may still count as dira. But again, the question fundamentally when we talk about dira, are we talking about it has to be for people to use at all times? And if you're telling people you can't be there, then even if it's not fenced in, it's still lo hukuf l'dira, or not. And I think the first possibility is the correct one. I think Rashi is defining dira as constant. That's what it seems to me. But I brought you the Rashi's. Like, he's very strong in requiring that it be for all times, right? I brought you in Source Ches on Kol Avir, right? When Rabbi Shem ben Elazar says his rule that the Avir has to be hukaf ledira, he writes, Av b'she'enu makura, which is a side discussion I'm not discussing right now, you know, what if it has a roof? Im tashmisho lediras adam l'knisa uliyitziyah tamid. For constant entering and exiting. And then Rashi and Erevin Chav Gimel Amud Beis, in the case of the tree, right? The difference between planting a space with vegetation and planting it with trees. So he writes, Benotei lanos lobitel viraso de orchali stofi pitzeli lanos tamid. He says, people stay under trees forever. They're always under trees. That's, I don't know, what it is. In Source Yud, another example, he talks about the ilan ha-mesach al-ha-aretz, right? The tree that is overhanging the ground and the ability to consider that space underneath it, dira or not. And Rashi there, once again, in Yud Aleph, says, when the Gemara says it's dira shetashmisha la'avir, it's really a residence for the sake of the space outside it, Rashi writes, eina lidur batamid, it's not to be in constantly, el istof ba shomrei, the avir is not mine, hasadeh. It's not for constant living in, it's only for the guard. This idea of Tamid is really emphasized within Rashi. And frankly, the Bach picks up on Tamid also. Right? If you take a look at Source Yud Gimel, well, Source Yud Beis is the tour that the Bach is commenting on, but the tour said, we learn all about the laws of Shabbos and what you can't do from the Mishkan. So if it is not for Dira, like spaces that are for a guardian, even though it fits our biblical standard of Rishus Hayachid, which will take us back to that Rashi, whether we, I mean, the Torah would seem to disagree.
As does everyone except for Rashi.
Okay. The Bazarik Rishus Harabim Lesochan Chayav. It's a Rishus Hayachid to the extent that if you throw into it from a Rishus Harabim, you are going to be liable. In other words, it's a bona fide Rishus Hayachid. Nonetheless, Chacham Asru Letaltil Besocho Yorisamei Arba Amos. The Chacham said no transporting in it more than 4 Amos, Imu Misasayim Olamala, etc. So the Bach writes on that issue of Inna Suna Lishmor Shah Besocho. And if you take a look at the Bach, Yud Gimel, the Bach, which is a point that we're going to come back to, says you have to read the tour properly. The tour says Ginos Upardesin Uborganin She'en Asuina Lishmor Besochan. He says there's a pause between Pardesin and Borganin. Did you see this before? Because this is critical in understanding what's going on. He says In Asuina Lishmor Besochan is talking about the Borganin, not about the Ginos and the Pardesin. The Ginos and Pardesin have other reasons to be no good. V'achi kiyamar, and this is the way to read it. Lo mabaya ginos upardesin de pshita de lo hukaf ledira. He says, ginos upardesin are obviously not hukaf ledira. Elo hukaf kideshi hegan no'ul v'chasum shaloya v'u zarim lavuz masha yitnu lesocho. These are places that are fenced in so that people are not going to come take that which you have in there. That's what's the problem with the gina, with ginos upardesin. They lock people out. And so on and so on. Right? And I'm jumping a little bit. We're going to come back to this Bach, because there are other things in this Bach that matter. But that's the way he frames it. And then he says, if you jump to the beginning of the fourth line in Source Yigimel, Umehai Taima, for this reason, Yalfinan Sasayim Mechatzar Hamishkan. That's why the shear for a karfev shenuhukaf ledira is sasayim, like the art of the Mishkan. V'lo yalfinan Har Habayis ve'ezras nashim. We don't take other spaces on Har Habayis. We don't take the Har Habayis itself. We don't take Ezras Nashim. Shaya kuf lamed hey amos vezis yisrael kuf pei zayin. Right? El lafi shaha azara chashuva mukefes ledira. You want to know why? Because the azara is mukaf ledira. Why? Shall you show him bakal halayla? Right? You learn the Gemara in Tamid, the Mishnah in Tamid, and then the Gemara. They guard it in there all night long. Masha enkin chatzar hamishkan, as opposed to the yard of the Mishkan, which does not have shomer in it all night. In other words, the guards aren't there Tamid, and that's why I bolded kol halayla. So the Bach's position, like Rashi, is that we require Tamid. I'm just not sure why. I think the reason is because we established Dira as you have to be there always. That's number one.
The Ashmaras were only in the base of Mikdash?
The Ashmaras were only in the base of Mikdash as opposed to where else?
Mishkan.
No, when they did in the base of Mikdash, they guarded outside the space. You didn't guard inside.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you weren't allowed to sit down or whatever. I think that's the understanding. They did have guards also in the Mishkan, in the Midbar. Right? That instruction is given in Korach. Right? About Shmira and Vazar Karev and so on. I think so. So that's sub-question number one, is what's this idea of requiring a constant presence? Sub-question number two is, if someone is dwelling in a place as a guard of the interior, not as a guard of the space beyond, right, is that considered dira? So this is not the Borganin situation, in other words, where it's a hut set up to guard a space that's entirely outside. That's not what we're talking about. So this seems to be a three-way machlokas. The Bach seems to say that if it's full-time, that is considered dira, right? We saw that just now in his statement that the Mishkan is not dira because the guards aren't there all night. But other areas on Har HaBayis do have dira. The guards are there. Similarly, regarding Tznius V'Nachas, those machitzos that are disqualified because they are only to protect what's inside for privacy purposes or to put something down, which we still have to understand. We aren't yet at that point. That's coming. But take a look at the Bach and source Yedalid on the machitzos that are for tznius and nachas. You saw the Gemara. So he says, "Kol mechitza b'sof perakos in pasin mechitzas ha'adar kalin." Or there's some Greek way to properly pronounce this. Lo shma mechitza. The builder's mechitza does not count. Mishum dilat sniusa avida, because it is for sniut perish. And then he explains, "Banoim osin mechitza la'atznia atzam ne'achama k'shabonin b'chama." The builders will put up walls to keep themselves out of the sun. V'chein mechitza asuya lenachas, and so too when they disqualify the one that is lenachas, perish lishtamer mashenichu l'sham, to guard whatever it's inside that they put down. That's lenachas. Excuse me. That which you put in there. Okay, lishmor asa, those are to guard the field itself. Heim borgenin she'enan shomrim l'sham ele beyom. So he says it's like the Borgenin, even though we said Borgenin, the problem is that they're for external space. But the point is that they're only there during the day. That's the key. So he wants you to be there fully. If you're there full time, though, he's good with it. I'm actually sure about how to understand his introduction of Borgenin, because he has really set aside Borgenin as a separate Bria, nonetheless. Rashi's view is that the guards who are guarding the interior is not Dira, but will pretend it is if they are there full time. It's really not Dira, but will act as though it is. So Rashi on Snius and Nachas, and here we get the Gemara in Source Tesvav with the Avarniki, right? You know, so you remember the story. You have this big tree that that people like to hang out beneath of the Reish Galusa. They want him to set up an eruv of some kind, a machitza of some kind, I should say, around it. Rava takes it down, and Rav Papa and Rav Huna and Rav Yeshua make sure that it's not going to be put back up. And their reasons are because this is Litznius or this is Lenachas. That's Source Tesvav. So Rashi on that in Source Tezayin says, Kevan de Litzniusahu, since it's for Litznius, Ulamachar Sasrila, and tomorrow they're taking it down. It is not perpetual. He says, even if it's a day and a night, if it's only one day and one night, that's no good. And on Lanachas, he says, Shloli Dorsham, it's not for living there. Elish Tamer Mashenichusham, just for guarding. So Rashi mentions two things. He mentions the function of it, the guarding, under Nachas, and a temporary character under Snius. The Nesiva Shabbos explains, and this is what I was referring to earlier, that Rashi believes that if it was for living, we wouldn't care about it being temporary. But because it is for guarding, it has to be full time to count. That's why he understands it. It's that same as Yeshua Shabbos I quoted before, Yud Beis Ha'ara Yud Zayin. He says, living can be temporary, but guarding has to be full time to count as though it was living. And I think that supports the idea that I said before, that being there perpetually defines Dira.
Is the economy, were they actually around the tree, or was it a separate area? Where they were putting the food, and then...
Sorry?
You said the kanim were around the tree?
Kohanim?
Kanim.
Oh, the kanim, sorry. I thought so. What did you think?
Well, there was also something about if they had like a brick structure, that there were stones that were around the tree. And then it sounded
where
like
did
the kanim... Maybe it was a previous...
I mean, I skipped the first piece right before you get into Rav Papa, but I don't recall what you're referring to. Do you know what that is?
It could be I'm mixing two things. I don't know. I have to look.
Or it could be I got it wrong and I flew through this too quickly. The decent possibility. The third view is the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, guarding the interior is simply not Dira. That's just the way it is. And I brought it for you in Source Yud Zayin, who says, Umanikra mukaf ledira, ve'enu mukaf ledira, hine gino supardesin uborganin ein ze hekev dira. The it's not heck of dira. Ve'afapisha yesham ktas binyan shashomer dar besocha ein ze asui ledira el leshmira. He says that's not called dira. That's called guarding. Two different things. And he's very adamant about this. He says living in means living in, and so he continues to say v'chein yeroed debeis hakneses ubeis hamedrash umerchatz im ein sham dira lahashamash o leshomer hamerchatz lo havi mukaf ledira. He says a shul, a beis medrash, a bathhouse. Unless you have a space there for the guard, so it's not mokaf ledira. Wait a minute, though. The space for the guard does count. Why does he say the space for the guard there will count? Unless he means that's like a real dira. It's not a, the other one is this is where you have to stay in order to be able to guard the field. This is actually a home. Where the person who guards the shul lives. This is the caretaker's apartment.
Yeah, this is like the...
Yeah, and it, that's...
You're saying it's not a guardhouse, it's like a little apartment.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Would the Aruch HaShulchan say the same thing about a guardhouse? I mean, if that's the case, would he say the same thing about a real house?
Yeah.
In a pardes?
I would think.
Right, but the person there, is there, you know, Baal Karchal, because he...
Yeah. Nonetheless, I think if you fashion it as a house and not a base of operations, I think it's taken differently. That would be my sense. Like what you talked about when we were talking, the camp director's house.
Right, that's what I assume is true.
Yeah. So he writes, when you're in the base medrash, though, Masha Mispalim Velomdim Sham Lo Havidira, right? Kemoshe Mishkan Lo Nikra Mukaf Ledira. He says the reason why the Mishkan isn't is also because the activities you do in a Mishkan are not Dira. The question is, what would he say about the rest of Har HaBayis? But that's what he says, at least for Mishkan. And so forth. So you really have, I believe, three different views. The Bach saying that if it's full-time, then the guarding is Dira. Rashi saying no, but if it's full-time, then we equate it with Dira. But it's not actually Dira. The practical application of saying this, just to make sure that this is clear... It would be the following case. We're going to discuss what happens if you plant a space that had dira in it, right? And we say if you plant vegetation, it's no good. However, we're also going to see an idea that if the space had been planted and then you put in a house, you're mevat al desraim. This is the different Malkiel's idea. You convert it from being for planting to now being a residence. So that's because that's actually dira. I think if you plant it and you put in a guard, and you say, well, the guard is here full time, I don't think you're going to be willing to do that. I don't think that's the same thing. That to me is the difference.
But the boss is going to say that's okay?
I think he's going to say that's okay, yeah.
And Rashi wouldn't because it's not equated with dira for whatever reason?
Yeah. That's the way I would understand it. I'm not sure I'm correct, I have to admit, but I think so. Rabbi Zirin pointed out to me a prima gadim, Eish Avram Shinun Ches Aleph, as well as the Chazonish, Kufiud Beis, Dibur Maschal HaBach, saying that being a guard is not Dira and disagreeing explicitly with the Bach. Okay. So those are just sub-questions. What we've seen is, number one, the basic rule. Well, no, I'm not going all the way back there. What we've seen in terms of Dira is that there is a sense of living in which, as a matter of halacha, requires that there be a house. That's what we want. Perpetual presence seems to be a requirement. Rashi seems to present it as a requirement. The truth is, Rashi seems to word it as a requirement, even aside from guarding, as a general requirement. Is what it sounded like. I think I'm not sure. I don't think the Bach took it the same way, but I think that's the way Rashi. I think that's the way Rashi takes it. And then, in terms of the acting as a guard of the interior, we have a machlokas as to whether that counts as dira or not. In practice, Bach and Rashi both say yes, whether it's actually dira or which is equated to dira, and the Aruch HaShulchan says no. Okay. Now we get into the meat of the disqualifications, which all those different gemaras you saw around the Masechta should help with. So what are the potential disqualifications of a karfeiv that seems to have dira? So the first one we'll mention is where the walls are for a purpose other than dira. Right? It is hukaf, but hukaf shalo ledira. So here I brought you Erev and Yitzayinam and Beis Yitches Amud Aleph. I didn't bring it again because it was already up towards the top, the Mishnah on Source Base, where Rav Yudah said Ad Beis Sasayim, and they said back, that's only for Gina and Karfeif, but if it's for Dira, then it could be even larger than that. But we disqualify a cistern, we disqualify a garden, and a Karfeif, it's more than Beis Sasayim. So why is it that we disqualify a garden? What's the rationale in disqualifying a garden? So I have at least three different views as to why we disqualify a garden. What did you see? For what reason would you disqualify a garden?
You don't feel enclosed in it. Don't feel like Dira.
You don't feel enclosed within a garden?
Or saying it has, you said it has walls.
Yeah.
So it's just the same thing as having Zion there. It's not for Dira at all.
So one approach is Rashi's approach. Rashi says people don't live in gardens. It has nothing to do with guards and Borgenin and anything else. It's just you don't live in a garden. On the spot, in that Mishnah, he says this. And also, if you take a look at Rashi, Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Nizra Rubo. Where did I bring you this Rashi? I believe I did, but I lost where I was. That's about flipping up and down, huh?
We were up to Yud Ches,
but that's not where I have Rashi Nizra Rubo. Rashi is in Tess. Yeah, Nizra Rubo. So Rashi says, Nizra Rubo Bizeronin Bitel Dirasso, De Bizeronim Lo Dairi Inchi, Vahavalehina. Right? He says, if you plant it, people don't live in the, among these seeds, the plants that they're producing, and therefore it is a gina. So Rashi explicitly equates Nizarubo and gina. Similarly, now jumping back down to Yud Ches, V'havale karfef yosemi beis sasayim, he says, V'avha gav de hukaf ledira, chashuv kelo hukaf ledira, da'havi kulo gina. He's dealing again with a Nizarubo case. And he says, that's considered lo hukaf ledira because it's a gina. Ubegina lo mehani hukaf ledira. And what Rashi writes there is very interesting. Rashi says, I don't care if you have a dira. It doesn't make a difference. This is anti. This is
the zirah and Mary overpowers the hukaf ledira.
Correct. Now, the truth of the matter is that there is one Rashi that doesn't seem to fit the pattern, and that is Rashi on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. If you take a look at Source Yud Tes, we have the Mishnah there. Lo yamod adam b'shus hayachem v'yiftach b'shus harabim b'shus hayachem v'harabim v'yiftach b'shus hayachem. Don't stand in one domain and open in the other domain. The concern is that you might come to bring the key with you across the boundary. Elam kein asa machitza kavasar tefachim. Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says if you make a fence, fine. So Rashi on that says lo yama birshus hayachid in source chaf kigon b'chatzero, such as in your yard. V'yoshit yado leganos derech choro sedek, putting your hand through a hole in order to unlock it. Right? V'yiftach b'machtech v'yiftach b'minol mitach hagina shema yamshicha or yimashicha mavteach elav umach Rabbi Meir filu birshus derabanan, and then the key, the part I bolded. Don't stand in a gina and extend your arm to a place that is 10 tefach high and 4 wide. In other words, it's going to be its own rishus hayachid, shu rishus hayachid, umaftech munach bo, where the key is sitting, v'yitach minu lamala me'asara, and open up the lock that way, because gina karmelis he, a gina is a karmelis, da'avya yoser mi beis sasayim shalo hukaf ledira. He says it's not hukaf ledira, whereas before he said it was anti-dira. I don't care if you have a dira there. It's odd to me that he says this is lo hukaf ledira, as opposed to saying dira doesn't help.
In the previous one he said chashuv kelo hukaf ledira.
Right, you know, even if you have a dira there, we view it as being ki'ilu, lo hukaf. In other words, it was dira, but we defeat it. Here he's saying lo hokaf l'dira. Unless your answer is what he's saying is there may not be a house there, or you're going to say that's really what he means.
I would have thought fundamentally maybe that minotaur is a reshusiyach, but we are considering it a carmelos, gina carmelosi, right. And then
could be.
It's part of that split that we have.
Right, it's possible. But Rashi is very clear that it's not about temporary presence, it's not about guards, whatever. The Divrei Malkiel supports this approach. He's very bothered by the Mishnah that appeared back on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, which I brought you in source Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah there says, and take out the word that I have in brackets in order to understand why he has a problem, because that's my word. V'odam Rav Yehuda ben Bava, Hagina v'akarvev shehen shivim amma v'shirayim al shivim amma v'shirayim, if it is based sasayim, in other words. If you have a garden that is based sasayim, mukevas geder gavas artfachim, and it has a wall around it, metalva mesocha, you can transport it. Ubavachi bashomira o base dira o shtei smucha l'ir. You just need to have a base dira within it. So you have a gina that has a dira in it, and we're happy. Right? You're allowed to transport within it. But you've been telling me that Zroim are mevazel dira, asks the Divrei Malkiel. Why is this okay? So the truth is, you could have answered that it's because the Mishnah there is only talking about, as I wrote in the word ad, up to Beis Asayim, and some do in fact assume that. However, he notes that if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in Chsor Schav Beis, among others, he quotes you a whole raft of people, but he says, Kol hekev shel hukaf l'dira kegon ginos upardesim uburgenim sheinim asuyim elishmur besochan. So he mentions ginos, asu chacham l'tal tal dot dot dot, and then where I bolded, v'im hukaf l'dira mutil tal tal bakulo. So he says there, it's talking about a space that is more than Beis Hasayim, because that's in the part that I skipped, that is not Hukaf L'dira, and it gives you the Ginos as an example, and says, if it's Hukaf L'dira, you're okay. You follow? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the Bach could work his magic that he works with the Torah and split the Ginos and Pardesim from the Borgenin. But he says, I'm reading the Shulchan Aruch that's in front of me, and this is what it's saying. So he's bothered. The Divrei Malkiel is bothered. I thought that if you have a gina, it knocks out any dira that's in it. But this Mishnah seems to say otherwise. So his answer is what I mentioned earlier. It depends what was first and what was second. He says, if it is ledira, but then you plant, the planting is anti-dira, and it cancels out the dira that was there. But if it was a garden, and then you were makif l'dira, then you convert it into a dira. It depends on what was there first. The language of nizra rubo means you had been living there, but then you planted. As opposed to a gina that has a dira in it, where it was a gina, and you put a dira in. That's his idea. I'm not sure how stuck he is on the strict chronological order. What if it was a gina and a dira simultaneously? You built it all as one. I'm not so sure he'd be bothered by that. But that's the idea. So the first view is that a garden is disqualified because people don't live in gardens. And then, by extension, if you have a garden and you put a house in, you showed I do live in the garden. I don't care that you don't believe people live in gardens. I live in my garden.
It seems strange that you have a field that you planted and then you're going to build the guardhouse to guard it.
Well, this isn't a guardhouse. This is. What? Sorry.
And the Divrei Malkiel quotes the Divrei Shmuel here.
In the beginning of the thing, he quotes the Divrei Shmuel. Yeah, I'm going to mention the Divrei Shmuel later. But but what did you mean by the Shomira? Where did you see Shomira?
In the Mishnah.
Oh, that's interesting. Unless the word Shomira could also apply to a house. But you're right. He mentions Shomira as well. That would seem to undermine this a little bit. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Okay. So, view number two is the view of the Bach. And the Bach says that guarding would be Dira, and this is the Bach we've already seen, so I'm not going to walk you back through it again from the beginning of Shenun Ches. He says guarding would be Dira. So, therefore, your garden could be considered a space people live in, but that's not the goal of your wall. The goal of your wall is to keep people out. And that goes back to what I said in the very beginning today, that even if a space is for Dira, if it has a wall, we ask, but why is the wall there? And if the wall is there to exclude people, it will be disqualified. The Bach seems to differentiate between Nizra, Rubo, and Gina, because otherwise he wouldn't need to discuss the goal of locking people out as being what makes the property deficient. He could have just said Nizarubo is Mavatal Dira and you're done. So that's an interesting point, I think. This view is consistent with the Yad Rama. This is consistent, I think, with the Yad Rama. The Yad Rama in Bava Basra says explicitly that a gina gets a fence. They're talking about properties and partners and the need to fence in a space and one forcing the other to fence in the space. And there they say that if you have a bika, an open field, so you can't compel the other one to put up a fence because it's not for dira. But a gina does get a fence because a gina is for dira. He writes it explicitly. A gina is for dira. So, I don't understand. If a gina is really for dira, then why did everybody tell me that it's disqualified? The answer, if I take the Bach's approach, is, yeah, the gina is for dira, but the wall is to keep people out. That's the answer that I think you could give. Well, no, it's defining the space that's inside. It is for dira. In Bava Basra, they're right. They're talking about what you use your space for and why you need privacy. And the answer is because you use the space for dira, 100%. However, that doesn't mean that it's going to be considered hukaf l'dira for Hilchos Shabbos, because in Hilchos Shabbos, our question is also, what's your wall there for? Not, what are you doing in your space? That was one question, but the other question is, why do you put up a wall? So that's, I thought it was an interesting possibility. So the first view is Rashi. Rashi says people don't live in gardens. The Bach says people do live in gardens, but they put up walls to keep people out. And then you have the Aruch HaShulchan, who says, guarding is not dira, and nobody lives there. He says, no one lives in a garden. And the act of guarding is not a dira act. And that we already saw when he made his comment about the Mishkan and Shin Chesvav, so I'm not going to drag you through it again. I'm not clear on whether he distinguishes between Nizarubo and Gina like the Bach does or not. I don't know. Okay. But that's one reason to disqualify a space, is because it is walled in for a purpose other than Dira. Clear? So the second reason is, and this is much shorter and simpler, is it is Dira, but the Dira isn't real, because the only reason to live there is for the space beyond it, right? Like the Borgenin that we talked about, right? We said in the Erev and Chafez of Aleph, we disqualify Borgenin because they are Tashmisho La'avir. And Rashi explains, it's source Chaf Dalet, V'chol Dira Shimechusa Begag, V'yasuya L'shmiras Avir Shechutzala. Yeah, it's roofed in, it's everything. But it's meant for guarding the space outside of it. Rashi on Tesvav brought you a slightly different approach. I brought that here as well. Rashi talked about the guard and said, by the way, he doesn't want to be there. Right? He says it is Dira, but it's Tashmisho La'avir. That was what the Gemara said. Mishum David Dira she Tashmisho La'avir. It is Dira, but it's serving the space around it. And Rashi says, therefore we say that's not called Dira because he doesn't really want to be in this house. What he means by doesn't want to be in the house doesn't mean he's chained to the house. What we mean is his only reason to be there in that house is to guard the space outside it. If he had some other way to guard the space outside it, he would do that.
And that's what the post can bring up, the jail. Right, the jail is a dira, even though nobody wants to be there. Right, it is undeniably a dira. Right, they are the children, right?
I think so. So, as we've seen, the Bach disagrees with Rashi and says that guarding isn't dira at all. But that's the way that Rashi is framing this. We also see this regarding the tree overhang disqualification, right, from Tzadi Tesamid Beis Kuf Amud Aleph. So, in that discussion about the tree disqualification, Rashi said it's not for constant dwelling, it's only for the guard of the outside space. Right? Rashi is explaining why we don't say that's for Dira as well as Avir. The answer is, because once it's for Avir, it's not called Dira. So that's the second disqualification. So the first disqualification of a place that seems to have Dira is the walls are meant to lock people out. The second is where it is Tashmisho La'avir, the purpose of the Dira is simply a means of protecting the space beyond the Dira. The third is where the Dira is overridden. And that's the Rashi's take on the garden. The other use of garden that we had was the Bach. the according to the Bach, I'm sorry, let me make sure I get this straight. Right, according to the Bach, the disqualification of garden is because your walls are for a purpose of keeping people out. Right? So the walls are for a purpose other than Dira. That's the way the Bach understood the disqualification of garden. However, now we're going to say the disqualification of garden per Rashi is that we override the Dira. It is Dira when people are there. However, we override it because it's a garden at Nizra Rubo. You follow? You saw me? See what I'm saying? I didn't realize that it fully until I was saying it now, but I think that's actually pretty solid.
In the Rashi there, what was he saying? Ba'olam shenatzu mitzvah b'kach?
Where are you? One second. Oh, shenatzu mitzvah b'kach, yeah. He is dealing with the case of the tree and its overhang, right? That was the...
meaning it was planted, they still face that...
I'm sorry. That's a garden case, Tesvav. Mishum Davi Dira Shetashmisha La'avir. Hang on, let me just call it up and not.
Good, well, if it's garden, it's
right. No, the. Let me actually read it instead of. That is talking about Ilan HaMesach Al Ha'aretz. It's the tree with the overhang that they quoted from Kluf. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
So, what we're saying now is that the third psul is where the dira is overridden, and that is Rashi's take on the on what happens in the garden case. So I'm not going to drag us through the whole garden discussion again, because we've spent enough time on it, but we already saw that's what Rashi believes. And here I'll mention the Dvar Shmuel. The Dvar Shmuel suggests that this might be an issue only in a karfeif, but not in a chatzer or a chava. If you have a karfeif, which already is not really a dira area, and then you also plant your garden in it, so then that's going to be disqualified. However, if you have a chatzer or a chava, this is yard around the house, then it won't be disqualified by the fact that that there's also this zriya going on. See the Divrei Malkiel Dalet Gimel for a thorough takedown of the Dvar Shmuel. He really doesn't like him. Or he may like him personally, but doesn't like his idea. He also quotes the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi Nuntes says, if you have paths in between the flowers, then, again, it will it won't be Mevatel Dira. And once again, the Divrei Malkiel doesn't like that idea either. He points out that if you have your paths in order to take care of the flowers. That's the idea. You walk down in order to be...
It's in the Chacham Tzvi. Others who just say that the reason that that's not a problem, that the reason paths might make a difference simply because of being Mamai from Sasayim.
Right.
And you make it Arugos, Arugos, and then nothing is Sasayim. So
right.
Right, so that can be a totally different problem.
That's a whole other discussion. Right, correct. Right. Correct. If you take a look in my space downstairs, on my Sfarim, I have a little gray sefer, Hilchos Erevin, from Rabbi Melech Lange, and he brings you the following poskim on gardens. He brings you a Shor Lameshiv, Chelek Aleph, Gimel, Kuf Lamed Aleph. He brings you a Divrei Chaim, Bezer Chaim Chavches. He brings you that Divrei Malkiel, who in the end is Mekiel, surprise. The Chelkes Yaakov, Aleph, Reish Aleph, Dalid. You take a look at the Meiri. There's a lot to say about this garden issue beyond the little bit that we're touching on now. But I also wanted to make sure to discuss ponds.
This isn't the Dvar Shmuel. The big application people use it for is... The same is true of cities.
A
city with a wall, right? Yeah. Also, they think it won't be Mabatel Dira.
Because it's like the Chatzar and Rechava as opposed to the Karfi.
Right. And then the Poskim are Dana and the ones who are making.
Maybe your wall makes things worse.
What?
Right, go ahead.
Right, but then they say that, even in Tzuras HaPesach, right, is a wall, right? And therefore, since Arah Erevin are Tzuras HaPesach ones, that's why we don't worry. That's why.
We don't worry about the gardens.
We weren't worried about gardens and, all those things which look like a Karfi in the middle of a. Of a era of which you've been bought the entire thing or not, right? So this is one of those things that comes up in
right.
Yeah. And then just right, there was also the Meiri, the Stira and Meiris of what is the problem with Gina. The Chidushe Meiri, because there's no Drisa.
Oh, sorry. My head was in the guys walking up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
But yes.
Right, and that's hence the, and as opposed to the Meiri in the Beis Bechir, which everyone quotes, which is that flowers, Linoi, is not a Gina, that's not what it meant, right? Because
right.
Linoi, you walk them.
You're there.
This is Tiran Meiri. The Meiri, or this is how, what's his name? Rusim Chazizel Broy points it out. And then the Meiri and the Chidushe Meiri seems to argue in Rashi and say that it's not about Dira, it's about Drisa. Right? That Gina is a problem, not because it's, right, there's no Dira, but because there's no Drisa about them. Or Drisa's people. And people can't walk over the flowers. Right? In the Meiri, in the Beis Bechira, he has a Kula, which some of the posts can rely on, which is that flowers are not a Gina, because they're meant to beautify the space where you do live.
Right.
And so Chazizo points out that it seems to be that the Meiri, two Meiris argue, right, that if you think that it's, right, the Meiri in the Chidushim, which says it's about Drisa, would obviously say that flowers are the paradigmatic not Drisa, because you don't walk over them. And the Meiri in the Beis Bechira seems to be taking the Rashi approach that is about living, right, and therefore flowers, which you use to beautify your house, are dafka l'shem Dira.
Right.
Yeah, I think I got that right.
Okay, so what about ponds? So the we saw the Gemara in Erevin Chav Dalet Amud Aleph Tamud Beis, right, about the space that got filled in with water, which struck me as not being really a pond case, because the pond case is actually intentional. Nonetheless, that's the way everybody refers to it. And if you take a look at Chav Zayin, source Chav Zayin, he says, "Harpios Vish Tasayim Shukuf Yerevin Is Male Mayim." It was filled with water, so the Rabbanan wanted to say it is like plants, and therefore Asur. Rav Abba Achva the Rav Braid the Rav Misharshia says, "Man kinitayim damu." It's like trees, Mishari, and it's mutter. Amar Amemar Behu the Chazil Letashmishta. Amemar says it has to be suitable for some function. Avalo Chazil Letashmishta lo, but not if it's not suitable for any function. So we have a machlokas as to what a function looks like. The Rambam, and here, just because it's getting late even just to cover Dira, so I'm going to go a little quickly, but you see the sources there. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Tezayin Vav, says like the Gemara's language, it has to be suitable for use. And the Ritva has similar language. He just says, Ru'uyin L'tashmish. The Rashba in Avodas HaKodesh says it has to be usable for drinking or for laundry, is what he says in Gimel Kuf Mem Dalet. And it can't be salty, it can't be dirty. That's what we want. Ru'uyin l'shasiya u'l'kvisa, not meluchin, not achurin, muddied water. Brackish, as some of the books like to say. Rashi's view is drinking. Chaz l'tashmishta means, I wrote it in Lamed, l'shasiya dein l'chadir me'ul mizu. There's no better one. It's actually drinking, which the Sharet Zion says is Rashi just getting it from Pasei Biros. Right, the whole idea that water is going to be fine is because we had these cisterns in the middle of the road, and we call that, you know, Hoka Fladira. So obviously, then drinking works. I listened at one point to an audio shir by Baruch Simon, and he mentioned that his wife knew someone who was in what he called, quote, an out of town kollel, end quote. And there, they had to buy fish and put it in the local pond, and that way it would be available for fishing, and that would be Hoka Fladira. I'm not clear why that makes it Hoka Flavira. I don't think he was necessarily endorsing it when he quoted it. I think he thought it was interesting to report. I don't think he was necessarily saying this actually works. Yeah, that makes it Chazli Tashmishta. I have a very big problem with that idea on numerous levels. But yeah, he mentioned it, so I'm throwing it out here. Is Bitol Dira, I should say, an act of intent, or is it even automatic? In other words, what if plants just grow there? So the Imre Yosher of Meir Arik notes that if you look at Rashi's language, you get a clue. When Rashi on Erevin Chav Gimel Amud Beis on Nizra Rubo, so go all the way back up to source Tess, he has this very interesting diuk. It says, Nizra Rubo bezir onim bitel diraso. Bitel is singular, right? If you're talking about Zeronim, it should have been Bitlu Diraso. So he says, if it's singular, it means the person who planted it. And even though the wording is Nizra, which means it is planted with, nonetheless, it should be read as though we're talking about the fellow doing it. In other words, because you planted there, you were Mevatel Dira. But if plants sprang up on their own, you know, you just didn't remove them, there's no Bitl. That's the argument that the Imre Yosher brings.
That?
Sorry?
Do people agree with that?
I've seen it quoted elsewhere, and you could use that idea to argue that if somebody declares, like the Devi Malkiel, right, I do live here, and he performs the actions of living there, it shouldn't lose the... Give me 1 second, please.
Okay, we have a class coming in here now.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you. The if he declares, this is the space of living in, then he doesn't lose Dira status. And in Minchas Yitzchak, which I brought you here on the sheet, so you'll take a look at it because we're going to run downstairs at this point, but the Minchas Yitzchak says that that's true for contemporary flower gardens. That you declared you live there, that's good enough, because Bittul Dira is only a case of where there's an act of intent, something like that. And we're going to pause here for a second, go downstairs, and then resume. Okay?
What do you mean by a flower garden?
So, sorry, before we were so rudely interrupted, what we were saying was that the Minchas Yitzchak applies this to contemporary flower gardens. I brought you there on the sheet, just in Lamed Aleph. He says, Hine l'dati tzadku dibri ha'omrim t'gama nasim l'noye habayis havi k'mo l'tiu, that if it's made to beautify the house, as we were just talking about before, that's like litiul, for something that people do go to walk in. The poskim actually did say that, and he gives you several svarim that you could enjoy looking at on the topic. And then in Gimel, he gives you Rashi. Vina midivri Rashi dekasav adivri ashas sham nizra rubo harehu kegina v'asur. Bizel Ashana, right? Nizra Ruba Bizeronim Bitel Di Raso, the Bizeronim Lo Dairi Inshi, the Chule. Velokasa Rashi Bitlu Di Raso, this is the Meyosha's idea, right? It's the fact that it said Bitel, is the way he words it, and not plural Bitlu. So therefore it was the act of planting, and that's the Meyosha's idea. Okay? So, the other reference that I gave you there in Source Lamed Beis is Tu Ha'aros, the Nesiva Shabbos, just because I knew we were going way too long with this and we weren't going to be able to see everything we needed to be able to see. But if you look there, you will find discussions of cemeteries, which, you know, today are actually off limits at certain times. You know, it certainly creates a problem. Apparently, days in the Gemara, you can go sleep there any night when you were kicked out of the house. But today...
That was apparently something people chose to do willingly.
Yes. And then vacant lots outside of town, zoos, swimming pools. You know, you can find references to these and other fun cases all in those Taharas, and I'll give you many things to look at on that. Okay, the last category of disqualification for Pashus, that is Hukuf, and we think was Ladira, right? The first one was Hukuf Shalo Ladira. The walls are for some purpose that's not Dira, even though Dira is going on. Second is where the Dira exists, but it's Teshvi Shola Avir. You're only there to take care of another space. Third is where the Dira is overridden, I should say. And then you have this vague psul, which we referred to already a couple of times this morning, and that is the Tznius Venachas. The Gemara in Erevin Chavheim based Chavav Maralach with the Avarniki and with the tree that they want to build the wall around. And we said, if it's a Mechitza for Tznius, or if it's a Mechitza for Nachas, it's disqualified because, as the Gemara worded it, Lav Mechitza hi. It's not a Mechitza. So what does that mean? Why is it not a Mechitza? So, for real, you could enclose a space like that and then throw something in it from Rosh Hasharabim and not be chayiv. So the Rambam says, yeah. If you take a look at the Rambam in Source Lamed Gimel, he says, V'chol mechitza, right, Hilcha Shabbos Tezayin Tesva, V'chol mechitza she'ena asuya, and brackets I included the right words edit, but I'll explain it in a minute. He says, V'chol mechitza she'ena asuya lenachas eina mechitza. If it is not for nachas, it's not a mechitza. If it's only made for tzniuta, eina mechitza. Eina mechitza gemura. Bona fide, it is not a mechitza. So the Ravid says, no, I'm sorry, you read the Gemara wrong. When you said, if it's not for nachas, it's not a wall, what you meant to say is if it is for nachas, which is our edition of the Gemara. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, says, no, the Rambam has a different edition of the Gemara. The Rambam's edition of the Gemara on lanachas is the opposite of ours, and the Rambam renders lanachas as lanuach, meaning to live. why. So if you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, which I brought you in Lamed Daled, right, Gimel is just his explanation of what happened in the Rambam's edition. But look at Sif Daled in the Sifkan Daled in the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, "Vehein emes to lashon haGemara mashma kaHarambam, shal lashon haGemara kahu mechitza zadar kalin lo shma mechitza." He says, when the Rambam says it's really not a mechitza, that's the language the Gemara says. Mechitza suyil nachas lo shma mechitza. Right? If they're right, when they say that it doesn't mean it's not really, that when the Gemara says it's not a machitza, they don't mean it's not a machitza. They mean it's not a good machitza for a space of this size. If that's really what the Gemara meant, then Eza Lashon Hu De Lav Shma Machitza. Then why did you say it's not a machitza? V'lachein Nirali De Arama Mefarish Machitzas Elu Eina Sin Rak Lizman Katzar. He says these walls are only made temporarily for temporary purposes. V'yachakach Soser Mosem, and they take them down. V'kach Kasav Rashi Machitzas Adar Kalin. That's what Rashi wrote, right? L'machas Sasrila. They take them down. And V'chein Mefarish Aramba Machitzas L'nachas, and so forth.
So that's the Rashi about the Benayim?
Yes. So the Rambam's position is, yes, these are not walls. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says it's not dira. That's the way you go back to Rashi on Kafav Medalev. He said it's an issue that if it's Litzius or Lenachas, we quoted it earlier on the page, it's actually not dira. And that seems to be the position of the Shulchan Aruch, which I brought you in the last source in Labed Hay. If it's not made for living in, right? The language of the Shulchan Aruch is that it is a machitza, and it allows you to transport within the space. However, the not to convert this into a hukuf ledira, it's not nases lidor besocha. It's not for living in. And here again, I refer you to the Nesiva Shabbos that I mentioned a while back about how Rashi quotes both the fact that it's temporary and the fact that its function is for guarding. He needs both.
Well, what was the end of the Shulchan Aruch? It's mechitza to be metalto within it. About in mechitza, lasses masha besocha.
Mukuf ledira. Right. So that's the fact that we're going to see in the next piece of this, if your space is less than base sasayim, then that also has certain complications. In other words, it's not as low base sasayim, it doesn't matter hukuf ledira or not. That's not true. Yeah. So we're going to get to that, and that's what he's referring you to there. Okay? So that's our fourth vague psul, right? The psul of tznius v'nachas, which either, according to the Rambam, means these walls are temporary and therefore they're not really walls, or, as Rashi says, tznius v'nachas are just another version of not dira. That's the idea. Okay?
So I'm going to tack that onto the audio for